Now, the teaching is this, that the man, a real man, must bear all the burdens, and the wife, she should get all the blessings. So that's God's teaching. As Christ loved the church, so let every man love his wife. So Christ loved the church by taking all the burdens off the church. The church had done wrong. Jesus had not done wrong, but he took the responsibility for her wrongs, lifted them off of her, and gave her all the blessings, whether she deserved them or not. He gave her complete blessing and approval of God. And that was God the Father sent him there to tell her that. Is, look, I'm not going to hold your sins against you. I don't care what you didn't do or did do. I love you unconditionally. So, husbands, you bear the burden. Wives, you get all the blessing. It's great. I mean, it's a great idea. It's a great thing to say. Now, it's a great thing to experience that moms are perfect in the sight of God, even though they may not be perfect in your sight. They are perfect in the sight of God. So what a gift. All right. Let's look at Ephesians 3:16. You've heard of John 3:16. This is Ephesians 3:16. Let's see. I don't know if my chairs are lined up right. Let me check and see if they all are. Is this the center chair? No? We're going to change these right here. Sinner and then legalism, 3, 4, and 5. Oh, yeah, see, I don't have numbers here. That's why it's hard to tell which is first, whether you should be legalistic or sinful. How many are legalistic? How many are sinful? Yeah, that's very good. So we got the first chair right. All right, verse 16, that he, God, would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Now, when someone grants you, that has nothing to do with deserving the grant. If you're granted something, it's the same as the word gift. So there's a donor, God, and a donee, you. So to grant you something or gift you something or donate to you something means that God, according to his riches and glory, and how many know he owns everything? He made the heaven and the earth, so that's his, and everything that's in it. That includes us and all of our works and all of our ways. They're all his. So he gets to decide what lives and what doesn't live, what stays and what doesn't stay. But God, who made the heavens and the earth and everything that's created, doesn't give you creation. Interestingly enough, he gives you himself. God, who grants unto you something, he's not granting toys. He's not granting things. He's granting himself. Your greatest love is not to give stuff. Your greatest love is to give yourself. To do that, you would have to forgive people. To be able to give somebody something, you have to overlook their faults. You have to not notice that they don't deserve it. You have to give people who do not deserve your love. You never forgive people that deserve it. You only forgive people who don't deserve it. Did you know that all people don't deserve your love? So you love people that do not deserve. That's why you forgive them and love them. Does that make sense? You understand that? So you think, well, I don't want to forgive them because they're probably not going to change. That's not why you forgive. Well, I don't think they deserve it. It has nothing to do with it. You do forgive people only who don't deserve it. So when you forgive someone, that's what you give to someone who doesn't deserve it. So when God forgave you, according to his riches and glory, he has everything. But he gives you himself, which is much greater than what you deserve. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If everybody's in chair one and they're sinful, then you deserve death. That's the wage of sin and death. So the law says if you sin, then you die. So everybody who sits in this chair, and everybody's born in this chair, everybody in the world is born in this chair, which totally then cancels out everything. Because even if you did good after this chair, you still can't get it because you have to be perfect. So if you just sin one time, how many have sinned one time? Yeah. So if you just sin one time, you're out. Because God only wants perfect people in heaven, and he's perfect, and he says, you shall be perfect as I am perfect. So what's he talking about since we're not? You shall be perfect since I'm perfect. What's he talking about since we're not perfect? I mean, who's he talking to? You shall be perfect as I am perfect. What's he talking? What's he saying? Why is he saying that? I said, I've already goofed up. Apparently, I was born in sin. I was conceived in sin. Not only born, conceived. I didn't even think anything or do anything. I was just a blob. And I already goofed up. And when babies come out of the womb, you can tell that that's the case because they immediately are selfish. And they immediately don't say these words, Mom, how can I help? Immediately, they do nothing. They just usually just cry. And that's it. They don't smile or deserve anything or do anything. They're not helpful or useful. They want all their needs met. They want you to meet them. They're abusive. They'll keep you up every couple hours. Babies have no thought at all to your well-being. They don't want to know where the fridge is. They don't want to know where the bedroom. They don't ask anything, do anything. How many know that God has to love us as we are, and we start out in this chair called sinner? This means man at his worst state. I mean, when you meet somebody that's a crummy person, lousy, that's a sinner. So man at his worst state is awful, terrible. This is the only chair of these five chairs that God loves. Now I'm going to say that again so you understand that. This is the only chair God loves, sinners. Let's say you were a legalist, a religious person, a moral person, a nice person, a well-behaved person, man at his best state. He hates this chair. I want you to be clear on this. He does not love you here. He loves you here. This is the one that when it says God so loved the world, he didn't say God so loved the religious people or the moral people or the nice people. First of all, the reason he doesn't love this chair is because this is no chair. It's only a liar chair. It's a hypocrite chair. You do not go to church or make religion or behave yourself from the heart. You're still selfish. So it's a fake chair. Here you are at your fake best. But it's totally fake. And yet you want a reward. Many of you actually despise and look down on sinners. And you yourself are the one you're looking down on and despising. Isn't that funny? Now there's a sense of humor right there. The one you're looking down on is you. When you hate somebody else, you're just hating yourself. It's just self-hatred. You imagine, but it's total imagination. You imagine that, well, at least I don't do that. From the heart, you did, even though you didn't express it. Here I am expressing my flesh. Here I'm suppressing my flesh. Indeed, if I'm really clever, repressing my flesh. Now, if I was just suppressing, I'd be like this. No, I wasn't angry, but I was, and I know it. But if I repress, I go like this. No, honest, I wasn't angry. Really, I mean it. I'm a Christian. You're a liar. So everybody is evil. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And this chair here doesn't even exist in the eyes of God. In fact, they killed Jesus because he said, these two chairs are the same. That's why they killed him. They didn't kill him because of any other reason, except he said there's no difference between immorality and morality. Well, of course there is, we say. But he says, no, there isn't. So we killed him. He said that I've come to forgive sinners. And to a legalist, that was awful. What do you mean? You harlots and murderers and thieves? That's wrong. I've worked real hard not to be a murderer. And so actually, they killed Jesus to prove they weren't murderers. I mean, because they did it, you know, because he was a blasphemer. Remember, he had a reason. If you kill somebody for a reason, that's not bad. I mean, you can justify them killing people, despising people, hating people, because they deserve it. This is all game playing. This is all complete game playing. So this chair doesn't even exist. So God, according to his riches and glory, grants you something. What is it that he grants you? Here's what he grants you. Now, I told you this chair doesn't even exist, so you can't get a reward because you never did anything good. Only God is good. No one is good but God. So you can't get a reward for being good because you never were good. You were only evil. You've always been evil. You will always be evil. Even with Jesus Christ in your heart, you're still evil. And even when you are living in heaven, you are still evil. You will always be evil because apart from me, you can do nothing. So the only way you could even be declared righteous, even though you're not, the only way you could even be accounted, said to be, even though you're not, you're just these two chairs, which is really just one chair. The only way is if you had faith that Jesus Christ is your goodness. And even Jesus said, I'm not good. Even Jesus said it. The Father who dwells in me doeth the works. So if I've done anything, I didn't do it. If I said anything, I didn't say it. I just said what he said to said. I just did what he said to did. And so I just did what he did. Now, so Jesus is not good, so only God is good. And no one else is good. God is good. So God in his goodness loves sinners. Even this sinner here, even hypocrite sinners. Hypocrite sinners are just sinners with a mask on them. Y'all understand this? So if you have a mask and you're pretending to be nice to people, that's just simply a mask. But in fact, you're not going to go to heaven because you're a sinner, but you're not going to go to heaven because you're not a sinner. You're not going to go to heaven for any other reason except you believed in Jesus. So when I believe in Jesus, whether I sinned or didn't sin, whether I thought I sinned or didn't think I sinned, it doesn't make any difference. You are a sinner, and he only forgives sinners. And he loves sinners. God so loved the world. He could have said, I love the church, or I love Hindus, or I love Buddhists, or I love moral people, or I love people that try at least. He doesn't. He loves people that don't try and are addicted. Now, this happened to be my chair. I've never been decent. I've never been moral, although I have used it sometimes, but I knew when I was being a hypocrite and a liar, I was using that just to cover the fact that I was inside an evil, nasty, selfish person. But I always knew that. I've never in my life ever thought I was a good person. I've never thought that. So when my wife accuses me, it's like a joke. You know, and I can tell what people think. And she was saying, well, you're how can you be a pastor? Look what you just did. Look what you just said. I think that's so funny. I'm a pastor, not because I'm any good. I don't think I'm any good. I've never been good. I never want to be good. I've never even tried to be good. I don't plan to be good because I believe in Jesus. I've never helped Jesus out one bit. I don't have any good works to get a reward for. I've always been evil and nasty and awful. And when Peggy criticizes me, I've never changed. I've never even tried to say, well, I'll try to do better from now on. I've actually, when she says, you're doing something wrong, I'll do it twice. You thought that was bad? You don't even have a clue as to how wicked and evil I am. Now, is there anyone here like liketh unto me? Kathleen? That is funny. It couldn't be true. But she may not know it. She may not know it. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Is it just like me? Oh, praise God. This is a good group. You see, nastiness is not what you like to think about yourself, but that doesn't matter. You still are. And you're no different than anybody else in this room. All have sinned, all, and fallen short. Now remember, the standard is not what you think. Well, he didn't even go to church. So what? The standard is be perfect. When you went to church, did you perfectly love God and your neighbor and you didn't care about yourself? There's nobody ever, ever in the history of the world that did that. If it did happen, it was purely by faith or because you were dead or because the Holy Spirit did that. It wasn't you at all. So by the time I get to chair number 5, it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. How? Why? Where did I go? I died. How did I die? Not by faith. Faith is 3. I died because I suffered. Did you know that he who suffers ceases from sin? If you're suffering, you don't even have time to sin because you're trying to deal with your suffering. Oh, poor me. You see, suffering is good for you. The way you actually grow, Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. Did you see that? Even Jesus, he learned obedience through what he suffered. In other words, he never was allowed to be Jesus. He always said what God said. He always did what God did. Well, that would mean Jesus was dead. Long before he died, he died. Long before he physically died, he psychologically died. Not because he was a legalist, chair number two. Nor was he licentious, chair number one. But he believed that God said, Jesus, don't go down there and do your agenda, do mine. And he did what was pleasing in God's sight and said these words, I always do what's pleasing to him. Now, you and I could not say, I always do what's pleasing to him. What you could say is, every once in a while, but the reason you could say it is because you're dead here. This is my cross. This is his cross. So, his cross, he died for me. Now he lives in me through the Holy Spirit. And now he leads me and guides me because I'm dead. Here I'm filled with the Spirit. Here I'm led by the Spirit. Here I'm born of the Spirit. So now these five chairs are your chairs. I actually could add some more, but just to keep it simple. So this chair here is how you're all born. Everybody's born here. And then most people fake it here. But it's completely fake. So when you're nice, remember Jesus said to that one group that came and said, Lord, we did mighty works in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We did it in your name. Golly. He said, depart from me, you evildoers. Don't you think that's funny? Here they were bragging on what they had done. And Jesus said, if you did it, it's sinful. So get back to chair one and go to hell. Thank you. You got it. That's good. You're not going to get to heaven because you did something. The fact that they said they did it was a clue. Oh, you did it? Jesus didn't do it? You don't want to give God all the glory? You want to do it because you were good? You were a nice person? You are a liar. Do you all see that? So everybody here is equally nasty as the person sitting next to you. Now that person doesn't know it. And don't tell it to them. Don't tell it to them. Just don't mention it. Because we're all equally in sin. Did you know that? There's no difference. That's why they killed Jesus. They killed him when he said that. Because we know there are differences. Look at that person. What a bum that person is. That person shouldn't even be breathing. That person shouldn't even be alive. That is such a nasty person. How many have one or two people in your life that qualify in that? You know, you can actually look down on them. You know, you can look down on that person. You don't even deserve to be here. You're a shame to the human race. This is fun. I mean, this is fun, really. It's part of the religion. I'm a Methodist. I'm a moral person. I'm civilized. You are an uncivilized piece of junk, you know. And this person has nothing to say except this. You hypocrite. So they just kind of equaled it out. You see that? So when you look down on a person, the person that you're looking down on is actually looking down on you as a hypocrite. Did you hear me? Now, neither of these chairs, which are actually the same chair, there's no difference. So whether you got a mask or whether you're not wearing your mask and you just come out. So whether you're repressed or suppressed or expressed, it's all the same. It's you. Those two chairs is what Jesus calls you to repent of. Lord, I repent that I am a nasty, filthy sinner and that sometimes I hide it from you because I know you can't see that I am. You remember Adam and Eve? They not only ate the apple, but immediately they sewed fig leaves so he couldn't see that they were naked. Don't you think that's funny? Here they are, God can see through anything, and here they are thinking, now before they ate the apple, they weren't this dumb. But after they ate the apple, they said to themselves, geez, we're naked. And that's not good. I tell you what, and see how brilliant they are. Let's sow fig leaves. God won't see the difference. And so they weren't naked. You remember God came in the garden, he said, "Where are you?" As though he didn't know. Did you see that? Was a little sense of humor there. "Where are you, Adam?" You know, and they were hiding behind a tree. Remember? They were hiding behind a tree over here. "We're not anywhere." But God knew exactly where they were. So he really wasn't trying to, you know, what are those things that up in the sky and they can find out exactly where you're located? GPS? So God has kind of a GPS thing. He knew exactly where they were. So he knew to the, not just to a foot, he knew to exact where they were and what they were thinking and what they were feeling. And he knew everything they had done. So why does he even need to call them to account? Why does he do it? Because anyone can think of why he does that. It's like a parent and you're listening to the children that are in the bedroom and the door is closed. And you're hearing them giggling and then all of a sudden it's silent. You know there's something wrong. And so you say at the door, "What's going on in there?" And they immediately, you can hear the shuffling of things and so on. They immediately are going to cover whatever they're doing. Because whatever they're doing in there, the parent knows when you're silent like that, it ain't good. Because you should be wiggling and doing something. "Nothing, mother." And then you open the door quickly, just as they're putting everything, you know, and they're caught. And they hate it. "I didn't do it." And they're doing it right there. "I didn't do it. I didn't do it. She did that." Little kids are funny. Don't you think little kids are funny? Big kids are just the same. They're always trying to pretend like they're not what they are. But look, there's no gap. Here's what you really are. So there's no way God can love you. And he doesn't have to. Because the law and sin and death. If you sin, you die. And we were not only did we sin, but we were conceived in it. And when we came forth, we just started right off. Amen? Now that baby is a sinner. Amen. But it's faking right now. It's not, you know, it's looking like it's innocent and sweet. But as soon as that baby gets a little older, that baby will go, "No." And put a little snot in it too. "No." Oh, I love that when babies do that. And they're maybe like 1.5 or 2. "You get over here right now." "No." Oh, I love that. That is pure rebellion. Did you see how their little mask came off? When they were, you know, when they were sleeping, they looked sweet. But as soon as they wake up, and I love the way they can play with their food. "Hey, you stop that right now." And they not only don't stop, they flick it right in your face. I love that. Because they can't believe you're telling them what not to do. Like, you're supposed to love me. You're supposed to put up with all this. You know, it's been 1.5 years and you haven't said anything. What's happening now? Why are you turning on me like this? You've always loved me. Now you're saying no? You got to be kidding. So little kids have always been playing in their peas and, you know, doing whatever. And oatmeal is a good one. But they just love pushing their fingers through it and stuff like this. And then flick it right in your face. I love that moment. That is the moment of truth for a parent. Because either the parent's going to win or that little kid's going to win. For the rest of their life, they'll be flicking oatmeal. So you got to teach them, you don't do what you want, you do what I say. And of course, they're just a little kid and their eyes are as big as saucers. They just, big old eyes, what? Well, I can't believe. And they're looking at you like, who are you? Are you not the parent that I used to know? You know, why are you saying these words? No, that's to the older brothers and sisters, not me. You've always distinguished. And the older brothers and sisters are excited about this because they're going to get their first whooping, their first spanking, or at least a loud, you know, challenge to them. So little kids want to know if they how far they can press the envelope after that. And they will test you. They will test you. And so these two chairs are what God forgives. God forgives both these chairs. Especially this one here, this hypocritical chair. He loves this chair right here because it doesn't exist. But now it has a double problem. One, it needs to repent and go back to what it really is so that God can forgive them. Because he doesn't forgive this chair because it doesn't exist. So he only forgives this chair, but you have to repent of this chair in order to get back to this chair and say, this chair doesn't even exist. This is not me. This was just me pretending. This was just me faking. Now, that's called civilization. What we want is people to be civilized. What we want is people to act, behave themselves. Behavioral modification. That's what the school system's all about. They don't teach facts anymore. They don't care about, you know, they just want you to behave, get along with your neighbor, you know. All right, let's, all the kids here and so on. And they're just trying to do group dynamics and, you know, trying to make a big society out of it and so on. And everybody has to agree. Ted, you're the only one that said it was like this. Look at all your friends. Do you want them to think you're different? And that social pressure gets on that little kid, and he's become a tribal person. We just tribalized him or her. And kids can do that. They can punish other kids. You're fat. And they can make you feel like you don't belong. But in the modern world here, we teach them not to say that. Now, don't say that. In other words, think it, but don't say it. And they're just gonna whisper. She's fat. And the fact that they don't do it out loud doesn't mean anything. You cannot stop them. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So yes, you can make somebody outwardly behave the way you want, but inside, they're not behaving. Did you know that? Did you know that people are that powerful? That on the inside, on the outside, they may say what you want them to say, but on the inside, they're totally different. So God knows what a heart is like. He's the only one that can judge your heart. God knows your heart. He knows that nothing comes out of the heart except murder, adultery, you know, fornication, bitterness, jealousy, nothing good, only evil. Isn't that amazing? Now, why doesn't Jesus say there's a little bit of good? In other words, why is it that I'm not just basically good, basically evil, but totally evil, and every once in a while I do a nice thing? Every once in a while I do a nice thing to fake you out, which is totally evil, because I'm not being me. Why is it that people will think I'm basically good and I do a little bit of evil, when the truth is you're basically evil and only evil, and every once in a while you lie? That's it, right? So I want you to understand, because you won't understand the rest of these chairs. We call all of this Christianity, but this is the only chair that most churches actually teach, is believe on Jesus. Believe that Jesus died for you. So I'm going to sit in this chair because here's the chair of faith. Now I have faith in Jesus, and therefore God calls me perfect, holy. What you don't understand is you're only perfect and holy spiritually. You are not physically perfect and holy. Your behavior is not perfect and holy, nor is your soul perfect, only your heart. So yes, your heart is perfect now because it believes in Jesus, that he's all your goodness, and that's you. Over there is you. But he's forgiven all of that, and I repent of all of that. But after I sit in this chair, if I stay here for more than a few months, I will fall back to chair 2 and 1. If I stay here as a believer, and this is where most churches stop, that's why most churches are full of sinners, legalists, and people that believe in Jesus, and they don't really know what's going on. But I'll tell you one thing, anybody can tell that you're not doing chair 5, where it's obvious that what you just did was born of the Holy Spirit. It was miraculous. It was something powerful because you were led of the Spirit and you were filled with love and you were walking in love. And it wasn't you. It wasn't you with a little bit of pride in it. Because when you walk in love, you'll have a little bit of pride in it. I walked in love. I was nice. But then there's no difference between chair 2 and chair 5. So, was it really me, or was it just me looking like me? Which actually was just a liar. So people do not know whether it was the devil or whether it was their flesh or whether it was Jesus. All I know is outwardly I did it, so I don't know what's going on inwardly. Even we don't know ourselves. Did you know you don't even know yourself? You don't even know yourself. You can't even judge yourself. Well, I think I did that in Jesus. Yeah, but that can just be you talking. That doesn't mean anything. That's just you saying stuff. Only God can judge the heart. Only God knows if what you just did was totally from the heart. He's the only one that knows, because without faith you can't please God. He's the only one that knows whether you did that was in faith or not in faith. Because sometimes we operate in fear. I could go to church out of fear because I didn't want to go to hell. But then it would just be fear, and that wouldn't be a good work at all. So how do I know? You don't. Only God gets to judge. But here's one thing. If you stay in this chair, you will sooner or later find yourself back in to going to church legalistically and trying to be a Christian legalistically, or you'll go back to your old addiction. You cannot stay long as a believer without going to 4 and 5. You'll never do it. Now, what's the problem? Why can't I get to 5? Because I don't want to go to 4. The whole problem in the church today is people that are 3, who have repented of 2 and 1, do not want to go through 4. And that's where everybody here is learning that I want you to go through 4. And I want you to embrace this chair. I want you to love this chair. I want you to hug this chair. Now, here's why you don't want to do it. Why you don't want to do it and why you're going to fall back into 2 and 1 is because this chair is suffering. This chair is fire. This chair is death to the flesh. This chair is, not only did Jesus take up his cross, but I'm going to take up mine. And if I lose my life, then I'll find it. I don't want to live my life anymore. I want to live his life. I don't want to live for myself. I want to live for him. You can't do that by faith. You can only do that by suffering. Jesus learned obedience, 5, through what he suffered, 4. Jesus himself. He didn't learn it by faith. He didn't learn it by listening to the Bible, what God did for him. No, he learned it by actually suffering, being hated, despised, misunderstood, by having people come against you. Anyone who lives a godly life will be persecuted. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting when people hate you and misunderstand you? And you try as you may, you just can't make them understand? Well, you're wrong. They don't care. They still don't like you. And you have to rejoice in all things. How many know the Bible says rejoice in all things? So here, when I'm in all this trouble, Jesus wants me not only to be in the trouble in the first place, but second of all, to rejoice at all things. And I hate that because I don't have any control over circumstances. Do you see that? People are mad because God won't come through for them. See, here in this chair, he loves me, and this is a very comfortable chair, so I like this chair. This is very comfortable. That one is uncomfortable. There's something about that chair I don't like, because this one, Jesus did it all, but that one, I'm going to have to go through it. I'm not just believing that Jesus died for me. I'm believing that I'm going to die for him. I don't want that chair. I don't want that chair, and I know there's a fire because I can feel it when I get closer. Ooh, that's kind of hot. Could you turn that down a little bit? I'll go through it, but I want to go through it with a kind of like a running start because it's too hot. Ow, 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 whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, Jim, that was your first time. What do you mean first time? You have to go through 7 times. Okay, well, turn it down a little bit. I'm going to go around it. No, go back through it. No, I don't want to go back through it. Do I get a turn for that? So, ow, 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 ow. Said I hurried through, you know, but I don't like it. And after a couple of those, I don't trust you anymore. I do not trust you. This thing about come follow me, I hate this idea. So Jesus is taking you by the hand, saying, no, I'll be with you. Yeah, but you don't burn. No, Jim, don't worry about it. We're separating your soul from your spirit. You see, we're just going to separate the flesh from the spirit. So the flesh will burn, but the spirit won't. So it's not a big problem. It is for me. No, it's only going to burn your flesh. I think that's all I am. I don't think I have any spirit because I'm having trouble saying hallelujah. See, so when I go through there, I don't like stalling at all. Ow, 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 hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I don't like that. So here's the problem is, no, learn to trust Jesus. It's just killing off your old man so you can put on your new man. As soon as this one's dead, as soon as it's all burned up, you're going to be a free man. I want to stay here. Well, you can stay here. I'm not going to make you. I won't force you. Did you know that Jesus will not force you to go through chair 4? You have to submit voluntarily. No, I want to. You do? Turn her up. Another log on the fire. Well, do I need this? I think an instruction, I could probably learn just by instruction. No, you have to go through this. Amen? So when you're having physical problems, you get in the physical problem and you say, hallelujah. I'm not afraid of cancer. I'm not afraid of sickness. I'm not afraid of anything. I praise God. In fact, I confess my sins and I say, hallelujah, this is just going to burn up my flesh and I need it. And if I die right now, praise the Lord. Now, that's not what most Christians are doing, and I don't blame the Christians. I blame the pastors. The reason is you have a pastor who's never been through the fire. Because if any pastor has been through that fire, he wants you to come through too. And he will help you to go through because he's been through. And he knows that until you're here, you're not really free. And you're not walking in love. And you're not maturing. And he's coming back for a bride without spot or any wrinkle or any such thing. No sin, no stain, no nothing. Here he's not coming back for a selfish harlot. He's coming back for a bride that walks in love, led of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. Praise, hallelujah, love to the brethren, building up people, not worrying about myself because I know Jesus will take care of me because look, he just took care of me when things were bad and when I didn't like it and my flesh was complaining and griping. I never did gripe one moment. How many know that when Israel went through the flame, as soon as they got out of Egypt, see, they were in Egypt, he led them out through the atonement, they had faith in the blood, they followed Moses, and Moses led them straight into the wilderness. And it's only, some vary on this, but it's only 8 days or 11 days to walk. They could have got to the promised land in no time. But instead it took them 40 years because they grumbled and griped. And God had to leave them there until they didn't. And since they didn't, they all died in the wilderness except two, Joshua and Caleb. They were the only two that made it. Isn't that amazing? So, out of this church, how many want to go through the flame and the fire, chair four, and you want to sit here because this is the chair Jesus chooses for you? Say, Jim, trust me. I'll come up with a problem that will be so big that you won't have any strength of your own. It'll be so hurtful that your flesh won't like it. But then your spirit will praise me. Isn't that neat of God to design it that way, kind of personally for you, to have you have financial problems? Don't raise your hand. How many have financial problems? See, those are designed by God. Or relational problems, where you just can't get along with people because they're not as nice as you are. How many have relational problems? What else? Health. Oh, yeah. That gets a person. I tell you what, people will pay billions of dollars for a pill or some kind of doctor to say something. Imani knows he's rich as Midas. He'll prescribe placebos for you, anything, whatever, just to keep you from griping and complaining. And so we will pay anything for health. We will do anything to fix our marriages and our relationships. We will do anything for economic, wealth and health and all that stuff. No. God is, you see, people think if they're in chair four, they're cursed. No, you're actually blessed. The father that loves his son chastens him. He'll beat him. He will teach him and instruct him, not with words, but with whipping sticks, a rod. How many want this chair? And you know it's the only way you can get to chair five. You have to go this way. You can't go another way. This is the way of Jesus. Come follow me. He who begins, you have to continue now. Keep coming, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Then you'll be my disciples indeed. If you continue in my word, you started in the first word. Well, actually, the first word was be holy, and you failed that one. Now your second word is believe, and you did okay there. And then your third, the next word is come follow me. I want you not to be a believer, chair three. I want you to be a disciple, chair four, because I want to break all the sin. Here I forgave your sin, three. Here I'm going to remove it. How? Through suffering. Okay, let's, I don't want to do that. No, you do. Well, are you going to make me do it? No. No, I'm just inviting you to do it. Just trust me. Jim, I'm not saying obey me. I'm just saying trust me. Just trust me. The fire will only destroy your flesh. I don't know why that doesn't appeal to me. I want to keep my flesh. I just want to keep my flesh. No, no, no. As a Christian, you don't want to keep your flesh. Do you think you're happy because you're sinning? No, but I don't want to go through the fire. No, no, no. The fire will remove the love of sinning. Well, I'll just keep it. Okay, well, I'll be back tomorrow and I'll see if you're still happy about being happy in your sin. Okay, well, I'll go through. But do I have to praise you? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, could you make it really, really fast? Could I have an asbestos suit? Could you let me put a pillow on my bottom? I just don't like the suffering part. No, no, no. You suffered for me. Why do I have to suffer? Why didn't you do a thorough job? Because, Jim, that suffering is how I learned obedience. Come on. Just go through it. Take up your cross. Come on. Take up your cross. It'll be good for you. Thank me later. Later, yeah, but right now I'm not thanking you. No, no, no. Trust me, Jim. I can't force you. You have to want to do this. You have to want to please me. Okay. 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 And finally, what happens? I trust God. What happens? He purifies me. And you know, once I get here, I say these words. You know what? I should have done that a long time ago. I should have trusted Jesus a long time ago. And now, I have to quit. Now, here's what I want you to learn today. I don't want you to learn how to sit in chair 4. I'm not encouraging you to go to chair 4. All I want you to learn is chair 5 is the destiny that God appointed for you. And if you believe in Him, chair 3, and that He's really forgiven your sins in chair 1 and 2, then you also must realize He died for you to go through chair 4 and rose for you so you could do it, and then you could sit in chair 5 in this world. He's not coming back to say, well believed or well wanted. He's coming back to say, well done. You did it. You did it. You are capable of doing it because I died for you. If you believed in me, you're crucified with Christ. You're already dead to the old man. So now, just believe who you are. I'm not asking you to become what you're not. I'm telling you who you are. You are capable of going through that fire and praising me. You are capable of going all through all kinds of hell and trusting me. This is the chair of faith. This is the chair of hope. Because when you're in the fire, you've got to hope that you'll get out. And this is the chair of love. So faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. This is the chair that God has designed for you for this world, not for heaven. This is the chair. Now, all I want you to know is that that's God's will. God's will is that you be justified and sanctified and glorified and that you sit in that chair. I wish we had time right now for you to demonstrate this by coming forward and sitting in these chairs and telling what they mean, but I want you to affirm all 5 of these chairs. And say, you know what? That's a loving Father. That is not cruel. That is actually a blessing. Because it's not a blessing to stay in sin. It's not adding to anybody else, but it doesn't add to you either. Trust me, Jesus is saying, go through chair 4. Hallelujah.